Time to talk some Boston sports, and to do that, we welcome in our friend Nick Coit from ABC6 in Providence. Hey there, Nick.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
Fabulous, thank you. How are you on this not-so-beautiful spring day?
Yeah, peachy. Yeah, you know what? It's been one of those like little stretches here where it's like, does it want to rain or does it not want to rain? Like, if you want to rain, just rain. If you don't want to rain, stop like drizzling for a few minutes and then getting everybody wet, and then, you know. I this is coming from a guy who shot about, you know, 10, 11, 12 high school championships this weekend. So we're standing outside in this weather. So it's like, come on, make up your mind.
Yeah, it's June in New England. You never know. Got to be prepared for anything here. Well, see, where to begin with the Boston sports team? Let's start with, the Red Sox, who are at it at this hour, wrapping up their series with the Tampa Bay Rays. We know there are some weaknesses with this team, but maybe the biggest one, the most glaring weakness, was exposed over the weekend with the Rays. It's just terrible defense on that team.
Well, it was really funny, Rich, to hear Alex Cora and his comment basically yesterday after the game saying, like, yeah, so, you know, it was defense and base running and pitching and throwing strikes and That was the difference. I'm like, okay, wait, what else is on the list? Because that was a lot of things you just listed. Basically everything. That was really disheartening. You know, particularly too, because this is a team that casual people, casual sports fans in New England, the Red Sox, people will get behind them. And even the casual fans are saying, who was that? What happened? What was that? Our meteorologist at the station, I ran the highlight of the play yesterday, and you should have seen the look on her face. And I literally, on the air, I looked over, I saw her as I wrapped up reading the highlight, and I said into my microphone, I said, Kelly is disgusted right now. Red Sox lose 6-2. And I'm like, but that's how people feel when they're watching this team. And that's the thing I think that gets lost in the whole, you know, Chaim Bloom, you know, this new experience of trying to save costs and save money and analytics and all that stuff. People just want to watch players that they like to watch. And I think the Red Sox have lost track of that, because who do you get behind in this team right now? Rafael Devers, and then who? I don't know. And the casual fan certainly doesn't know. And so there's a lot of issues, not just the nine guys on the field right now for the Sox.
And they've, look, it's not like they're not spending money. They've spent a lot of money on this roster, and yet they're still putting guys on the field every day that are borderline major leaguers and are certainly not major league starters.
Yeah, and it's discouraging, too, because, you know, you say you're saving money here, you're saving money there. Oh, you'll get more value out of Corey Kluber for 1 year and $10 million.
Oof.
When all he really had to do was spend a few more million bucks a year for a what, 3 year contract to keep Nathan Eovaldi, who if the American League ended its season today, he might be the Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah,
that's really sad.
Or Michael Wacha,
who could be the NL, well, he's at least the NL pitcher of the month.
Yeah,
just like AL Eovaldi. Like I shake my head. I could go on for ever about the problems with the Red Sox right now. But you're right, Rich. That's the discouraging thing, is they have spent money. They just haven't done it, I don't think, very wisely here. And it's really it's costing them day by day.
Boy, and I feel like Alex Cora is getting frustrated with that, too. In his comments yesterday when he said, you know, it comes down to me and the coaching, and this is the roster we have. I thought, well, you don't have to read between the lines too much on that one.
Rich, the exact words were, the roster is the roster.
Yeah,
I heard it too, and I said, he's taking digs, and I don't blame him.
No.
It's like, this is what you give me, and this is what I have to work with. You know, and I think maybe the casual observer might say, like, well, isn't it the manager's job to have the defense ready? It's like, well, in the big leagues, it's less of, when you get to the big leagues, you're expected to know what to do on a play like we saw yesterday. And clearly, a lot of the nine guys on the field didn't know what to do. And that's obviously discouraging for everybody.
I was reading, I think it was Pete Abraham in the Boston Globe, was saying, too, that, you know, the Red Sox pitchers, among others, have fielded among the worst at their position this year. And he said, you know, I remember back in spring training that the Red Sox sort of went through those drills half-heartedly, often not even throwing an actual ball, but just, you know, moving their arm rather than actually going out there and working on those skills. And sure, it's boring. Sure, it's something that you've done a million times if you're a professional baseball player, but there is a reason why you practice.
If you're a great athlete, what do? You stay sharp at the little things. You make sure those are in order, no matter how boring it gets. You hear all the great athletes always say, you know, it's about what you're doing, you know, with the little things, the details, what you're doing when nobody's looking, all those sorts of things, I think, apply. And so if that's the case, if they were getting bored with it, well, guess what? It's showing up now, and they need to change their philosophy pronto and start working on those little things, because clearly they don't have them in order.
And Chris Sale hurt. Gee, a shocker. He did make it to June, technically, but nothing out there. They're out of pitchers at the minor league level that they can call up. And so what seemed like a strength early in the season, well, that's been revealed as being a weakness too, because Tanner Houck, Nick Pivetta, two-pitch guys who are pretty good out of the bullpen, but really, as starters, can't make it past twice through the batting order without falling apart.
And you know, obviously overestimated the fact that Corey Kluber had whatever he had left in the tank, because clearly it's not what you need it to be. And again, you know, great, you got value on a contract, but you could have just signed a guy that you know works here. And that's one of the things that, like, analytics just, they don't show you is, you know, what happens when a guy is placed in this environment, on this team, in this organization. You can't measure it. And so when you find it, you got to hold on to it. That's always what I've said. And you know, a guy like Nate Eovaldi, he thrived in big spots. He was really good for you. Of all the contracts that you've signed guys to, extensions, whatever, since winning the 2018 World Series, his, I think, was, you got bang for your buck. Mm. Pretty good. Over those 4 years, he got hurt for one little stretch, but other than that, he was one of your best pitchers. And so it's like, you can't measure that sort of thing. I go back to, like, the 2013 Red Sox was, like, the perfect mix of that, because you found multiple guys that just, like, thrived under the pressure of playing the Boston Red Sox, and they all banded together because of it, and everybody loves them, and we have fond memories of that team from 10 years ago because they thrived in that spotlight. When they stunk, they told you. When they were really good, they told you, and they also gave an effort every night that was, you know, worthy of your praise. And, you know, that's why yesterday those guys were getting booed on the field, because clearly they're, you know, there's some sort of lack of effort in terms of, you know, putting the details together. And so, again, I could go on and on about the Red Sox, because it's, you know, you poke a nerve and it's like, my goodness, it's discouraging.
Nick Coit with us here on Downtown. Let's talk about the Celtics. Switch gears there after the disappointing end to the season. I thought a really good move over the weekend, hiring a veteran assistant coach in Sam Cassell.
I love it. He checks all the boxes. This is a guy that was on your last championship team 15 years ago. A lot of people, Rich, I've heard a lot of fans say, like, yeah, hire Kevin Garnett. He'd be a really good coach. And it's like, well, if you know Kevin Garnett, you know that this, like, it's not his thing. Like, I just don't think he wants to get into coaching. He enjoys what he does now. But you want the closest thing? This is one of Garnett's, like, closest teammates when he was playing. Loved Sam Cassell, lobbied for him to get on the team 15 years ago, and now has been an assistant in the league since retiring, has been under Doc Rivers for all these years in Philadelphia. I love it. He's experienced. I think he'll push some of these guys, and there's a value where, you know, you get back into the spot next year. Sam Cassell might be a guy on the bench that says, like, well, guys, you want to win a championship? Here's what you need to do. You know what? You might want to listen to me, because I'm the one who hung that banner over there. See that? That's the last one we hung up here. You might want to listen to me on this. And so that's why I think experience wise, and, you know, coaching wise, and obviously, you know, being around the Celtics organization, I think it checks all the boxes, Sam Cassell.
By the way, that was a pretty good impression of Lenny from Revere.
I just kind of revert to you.
Yes. Somebody living in his mother's basement in Gloucester really wants Kevin Garnett to coach for the Celtics.
Let's see. Patriots, can they win the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes? Do they want to?
I think the second question is probably bigger than the first, because can they? Sure, they could. They got the cap space to do it. They've got the money. They got the draw on Coach Belichick, a guy that DeAndre Hopkins has been recorded on video saying, I love him. Does he want to, do the Patriots want to pony up, bring him in, all of that? Do they think he's the right mix? I'm not sure. I for one, have said that if DeAndre Hopkins was signed by the Patriots and walked in the receiver room tomorrow, the best receiver on the New England Patriots roster would be DeAndre Hopkins. So say what you want about maybe injury concerns the last couple of years, all that, he would make your team better. And so I'm for it, whether or not the Patriots are, I'm not sure. So we'll see. But can they win it? Absolutely. Will they? That remains to be seen.
Bill seems to be patching things up with his quarterback and then probably making Mac Jones quite happy, turning all of the offensive everything, all of the decisions over to Bill O'Brien. That can only be good news.
Yeah, Mac Jones is happy. Nick Coit is happy because he's looking at it and saying, like, wow, a functional operation on the offense. It's great. That's awesome. That's the way it should be. This is why last year we were all scratching our head and saying, like, what are we doing here? And this year it just seems already more efficient, competent. They're working on things that they should be working on in May instead of trying to, run a different run scheme or have the coaches figure out what the heck they're doing. Last year was just such a head scratcher, and to have a guy like Bill O'Brien in here. You heard Mac Jones. We're picking out words in press conferences this week with certain people, and Jones was another one where he said, it feels normal. He used the word normal. It's like, yes, Mac is right. This is a normal operation for an offense. Good for Bill Belichick. Good for everybody. So, yeah, I'm not surprised because, your quarterback has a guy that he can work with now. That's good.
Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence with us. Nick? Great to talk with you, as always. Hope I didn't get you too wound up over the Red Sox there. They could turn around, win this afternoon, and then go take care of business in Cleveland. And we'll forget about the antics over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll definitely forget about all these issues when, they're waving the pom-poms down there and say, oh, look at us. We split with the Rays. Oh, look at us. Here we go. It's like, okay, guys. Uh-huh. Long season to go.
There you go.
Long season. Yeah.
Nick, we thank you as always. Hope your week goes well. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. I'll say hi to Larry and Revere.
That's great. See you, Nick.
Bye, Rich.
That's Nick Coit and his friend. That was great. That was perfect.